Dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to John. The Gospel according to John, chapter 18, and reading verse 38. John chapter 18, reading verse 38. Pilate saith unto him, the Lord Jesus Christ, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. And our subject this morning is no fault in Christ. No fault in Christ. That will be at the heart of our thinking this morning. But really, I would like to look at the verses surrounding that verse 38 and tease out all the evangelistic applications we can make, of which there are several. But these words, this portion of John's Gospel occur only a few hours before the Lord Jesus Christ is crucified, before he will be put to death. Indeed, these very passages that we will look at, what we effectively see is the Lord Jesus Christ being sentenced to death. Earlier in this chapter, verse 18, well, I won't go through all of it, but basically what has happened, we learn of how the Jews, the leading Jews, the chief priests and Pharisees, have sent a band of men and officers with Judas Iscariot, many of you know these things very well, to ambush and arrest the Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. And they have taken the Lord, they have tried him, which really is a sham trial. False witnesses have been found and have made false accusations against the Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ is charged with blasphemy. But the Jews have a problem. They want to put the Lord Jesus Christ to death. They don't just want to find him guilty of certain things. They want him dead. Now, how can they do that? They can't do it themselves. The Jews, as many of you will know, they are under the authority of Rome. If they want to crucify a man, they need the authority of Rome. They need the consent of the governor of Judea, who was Pontius Pilate. He was the procurator of Judea. He was the one who represented the power of Rome in the region. And so in order to put the Lord Jesus Christ to death, they cannot do it themselves. They must come to Pontius Pilate and say, we want this man dead. And so this is what they do, and this is where we pick up. Now, one of the main charges that they bring against the Lord Jesus Christ is they say to Pilate, this Jesus of Nazareth, he is claiming to be a king. He's claiming to be a king of some sort, the king of the Jews. Now, if he claims to be a king, well, isn't he a threat to Caesar? Anybody who claims to be a king, well, that's a threat against the Roman Empire, of course. He wants to raise up an army. He claims to be a king. You have to put him to death, Pilate. Death is the only thing that we must do to this man. This man is challenging Caesar with his claims. This is one of the accusations that the Jews bring against him. And so Pilate, when faced with the Lord Jesus Christ, he asks him this question. In verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, the Lord Jesus Christ, art thou a king then? The Jews have come, and they're telling me that you say you're a king. Is it true? Art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not being vague. When he says this, some people think this, oh, he never actually says he's a king. When the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Thou sayest that I am a king," he's saying, "Yes, I am a king." This is just a form of expression that they used in those days to affirm what somebody is saying. "Thou sayest that I am a king. You have said right, Pilate, that I am a king." He's affirming what Pilate is saying. "There is no error in your words, Pilate. Thou sayest that I am a king. Yes, I am." There's no ambiguity. It's just a form of expression that was used in those days. But the Lord is affirming what Pilate is saying. "I am a king." And of course, he was a king. He still is a king, we should say. He always has been a king. Always will be a king. He is the eternal Son of God. We always have to affirm this. The second person of the triune Godhead, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, is God the Son, equal with the Father, the incarnate God. We have to remember this when we think about these verses. The irony of it, the Lord Jesus Christ brought before Pilate, because Pilate is some big man, a ruler over Judea. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he's ruler over heaven and earth. He is the creator of heaven and earth. What a tremendous thing. Brought before Pilate, but this is the Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnate God, who created Pilate. No man would ever have existed but it were for Christ and for his determinate will and counsel. This is the eternal God. He was the God who could see all things, see the very thoughts of men, who knew all things. The Lord Jesus Christ knew that he would be brought before Pilate. He knew that this hour would come. Of course he did. I hope you understand this. He would say to his apostles before this, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death." He knew. He is the incarnate God. Indeed, what is more amazing, most amazing about these things, and we have to remember this from time to time, that even before the foundation of the world, even before the world was created, the Lord Jesus Christ knew that this hour would come. This is what we read of in the scriptures. In eternity past, before the world was created, the Lord Jesus Christ knew that he would come down from heaven to earth, that he would stand before Pilate, that he would suffer and die and make atonement for the sins of his people. He knew this. He agreed it. Father and Son made a covenant that the Lord Jesus Christ would come. So he knew this from eternity past. And we have to think about these things when we read these verses. This is not just a helpless man being brought to Pilate beyond his control. This is the King of heaven and earth. Christ is ruling even in this situation. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a king. "Thou sayest that I am a king." Pilate was right, and his rule is complete and total, and everything that we read is according to the will of God. But then we read these words, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Well, what tremendous words these are. This is how we define the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the truth. This is how we define the Christian religion, as truth. The Christian faith is true. It's not like the other religions. And I said this before, but perhaps not in a morning service. So bear with me, those who have heard this reasoning before. But I very rarely, if ever, heard anybody from any other religion immediately come up to me and present their religion as truth. Very, very rarely, if ever, do I see somebody from another religion say, this is the truth. That's not why they believe their religion. That's not why they follow their religion. They follow their religion because of other things. Perhaps they follow their religion because their parents followed their religion. I am this religion because my parents were this religion, and so I follow it to honor them. Perhaps they follow their religion because of their ethnicity. Where I come from, the nation I come from, we have a certain religion, so that's why I follow that religion, because of their ethnicity, because of their nationality. Other people might follow a religion just because it fits in with their personality. Oh, I like this religion because I agree with it. It conforms to my values. It conforms with who I am as a person. But I've never heard anybody say, I believe this because it's the truth. It's only a Christian who says that. Only a Christian comes before people and says unequivocally, I believe this because it's the truth. Not because of my parents, not because of my nationality, not because of my personality, because it is the truth. Every man, everyone that is of the truth, heareth my voice. This is how we present the gospel. This is how we present the Lord Jesus Christ to those around us. This is a religion of truth. It's the truth about all things. The truth about God, the truth about man, the truth about how man can be made right with God. Man cannot be made right with God through his works. Why not? Because we are sinners. We're sinners, not our works. Our good works are not good enough to make up for our sin. Yes, they may be good, but think of all the sin that we've committed. Our good works can't make up for it, cannot make atonement for our sin. The truth is, we need someone to come and to save us. The Lord Jesus Christ, only he has made atonement for our sin. That's the truth. And so, well, this is how we present it. If you want religion, if you're seeking after religion, well, you can take your pick. There are so many religions. But if you want truth, the truth will always lead you to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we must affirm the gospel as truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. But look at Pilate's famous answer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 38, Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews. He didn't even wait for an answer from the Lord Jesus Christ. What is truth? Well, isn't this just the spirit of the age? This is the attitude of so many people who live in this day and age. What is truth? They don't believe that there is truth anymore. You speak to people about truth, about the gospel, they say, oh, there is no truth. There's just opinions. There's just your interpretation of something. There is no truth anymore. And really, what are they saying when they say there is no truth? What are they desiring after? When people say there is no truth, well, it gives them free license to do whatever they want. There's no true way of living. There's no true morality. So therefore, I can just make up something for myself. I can do whatever I please because there is no truth. That is why Pilate didn't want to know about truth. He just dismissed it because he didn't want to come under the authority of God. There is no truth. I can just live how I please. And that's how so many people are living nowadays. There is no truth. Therefore, I can do as I please. I can live as I please. I hope we all see that, and I hope we all cleave to the truth. This explains so much of the chaos that we see around us. And I was told that last week our brother Chris Cooper spoke about such things. When you depart from the truth of the Word of God, will you only end up inventing things, making up things? If you depart from the true God, will you have to invent other gods? You have to invent other religions. When you depart from the morality of the Bible, you have to invent a new morality. When you depart from, for example, what the Bible says about marriage, you have to invent a new definition of marriage. When you depart from the biblical definition of gender, God made them male and female, you have to invent or make up a new gender. When you depart from the truth, you only end up making things up. Inventing things, living in a make-believe world, in a fantasy world. And this is the state of this world at the present time. What is truth? May none of us say that in this place. We know what the truth is. The truth is the Lord Jesus Christ. But let us continue in these verses, because time is moving on. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. No fault at all. Well, the Jews had presented the Lord Jesus Christ to Pilate. They had invented excuses against him. But Pilate, when he had examined the Lord Jesus Christ himself, had found no fault in him. That's a tremendous thing. That's a tremendous application we can make. The baying crowd has brought Christ to Pilate. Kill him, do away with him. He's this, he's that. But when Pilate looks upon him, he finds no fault with him. And dear friends, if there are any who are not Christian in this place, I invite you to do the same. We live in a world that is just like this baying crowd, that can only speak ill of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't become a Christian. Don't subscribe. Don't follow the Christian faith. It's evil, it's wicked, it's this, it's that. But if you as an individual examine the Lord Jesus Christ yourself, examine the Christian faith, examine the claims of the gospel, you will find no fault in the Lord Jesus Christ. Absolutely no fault at all. You must do it yourself. Turn away from the crowd, from this world. Pilate examined Christ himself, and that was his conclusion. Conclusion, there's no fault in the Lord Jesus Christ. Examine him yourself. But these words, they have even deeper theological significance. I find in him no fault at all. There was no fault in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Christ was crucified at the time of the Passover, the time when the Jewish nation remembered the Passover lamb. The Passover lamb. The Passover lamb, well, we remember from the book of Exodus, the Passover lamb was, well, he had to be a male lamb. A male lamb, remember, without spot, without blemish, without any fault at all. That was the lamb that was to be slaughtered. And when God saw the blood of that lamb on the dwellings of the Jew, of the children of Israel, well, then the judgment of God would pass over them. The lamb without spot and without blemish. That's what they remembered. But when we read these words about Christ, I find in him no fault at all, no spot, no blemish, then we can make the connection. Christ, he is our Passover. He is the true Passover lamb. He is the sinless, spotless Son of God, without spot, without blemish. The only offering that God will accept for our sin. He is the one who has come and suffered and died and shed his blood. When God sees our faith in him, well, then the judgment of God passes over us. Christ is our Passover, the Lamb of God, without spot and without blemish. This is the deeper meaning of these words. I find in him no fault at all. It's repeated three times here and in chapter 19, verses 4 and 6. I find no fault in him, to point to Christ as the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. He is the fulfillment of the Passover. Dear friends, this is the gospel message. There is no fault in this gospel message. What can you find objectionable in this message? What fault can you find in it? That God himself, the Holy God, came down from heaven to earth to take upon himself the punishment for our sin out of love for us. What fault can you find in it? What objection are you going to make? Dear friends, if you reject the gospel, the fault is not in the gospel. It's not in Christ. The fault is in yourself. The fault is in your own heart, your own rebellious heart. Light has come into the world, but men prefer darkness. Why? Because their deeds are evil. The fault is in you. It's not the gospel. Dear friends, this is the fault in this baying crowd. And we've just got time to read to the end of this chapter. Pilate says, I find in him no fault at all. But look at verse 39. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. What a sad state of affairs. This was the choice put before the crowd. The choice. You either have the Lord Jesus Christ, who is without fault, sinless, spotless, the eternal Son of God, or there is a robber, a murderer, we read in Luke's gospel, an immoral man, a notorious criminal. Pilate no doubt put the choice to them because he thought surely they would choose Jesus of Nazareth, surely. But this is the folly of man. They chose Barabbas, the utter folly of man. And this is what man does even now. They're faced with the gospel. They have a choice between the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh no, I'm just going to make things up. I'm going to make up my own morality. I'm going to make up my own life. They choose falsehood instead. They have a choice between holiness, a holy life, a spiritual life. But what do they choose? They choose their own lusts, their own sins. That's what they choose instead of Christ. You have a choice between peace with God, eternity, eternal life, an eternity of peace and joy. And what do they choose? Oh, they choose the empty, temporary pleasures of this world, this life, which is so short. And then an eternity of regret and bitterness and sorrow. Is there anybody here? You've perhaps heard the gospel so many times, presented with these things, and every time you choose Barabbas, every time you choose immorality, every time you choose the wrong way. Dear friends, that is such a terrible, terrible sin. Don't go away thinking you're not a sinner. You've chosen Barabbas. You're just like this crowd. You're faced with Christ, but you choose the other person. Don't go away thinking, I'm not a sinner. I'm all right. That's a terrible sin. But there is still time. God is still willing to receive you. There's no fault in him. He still calls you. Even despite all your previous sin and rebellion, there's no fault in him. He still calls you to come and to know the forgiveness of all your sin. Will you not come? Even this day, even this morning, God is gracious to receive you. Come and examine the Christian faith. Come and examine Christ. There is no fault in him at all. And if you do, you will be received and eternally blessed. There will be no regrets. Come to the Lord today before it is too late. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God, our loving Father in heaven, oh dear Lord, we ask that Thou be pleased to bless us. Oh Lord, turn our stubborn hearts. We are presented this day, this morning, with Christ, with the gospel. Help us to choose him. Help us not to make the wrong choice, that choice that leads to death and immorality and condemnation and hell. Oh Lord, let us not be like that baying crowd. Lord, help us to humble ourselves. Help us to know that we may still be welcomed and received into the love of God. Lord, we ask all these things in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.